Welcome to the Rooted Moms Podcast, a space where we encourage and equip you on your journey to becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. Together, we'll unpack a relatable, real mom life topic in the light of biblical truth. While motherhood may be complicated, we believe growing in your faith doesn't have to be. So let's open up our hearts as we dive into today's podcast with your host, Brittany Marlowe.
So, Hillary, welcome to the Rooted Moms Podcast. We are super excited to have you on today and to have you speak to our community of women. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, golly, such an open-ended question. Let's see, a little bit about myself. I've been married for about 16 years. I had kind of multiple careers. I thought I was training to become an athletic trainer. It's like the medical person that works with athletes. And so I did that for many years. And I think it's good that that probably didn't pan out. I don't think physically I would have been able to handle the schedule. And then I was a photographer for about 10 years, went to photography school out in California, and then became a teacher teaching science because I knew that with all my credits from athletic training, that was the test I could probably pass the easiest for the alternative certification. So I taught high school biology and chemistry and physics for several years, got my master's in biology while I was doing that until I kind of felt the Lord calling me towards Mama Bear Apologetics, which is a name that I didn't come up with. It just kind of kept echoing in my head. And I thought I was supposed to pass it on to somebody because my husband and I don't have kids, and we knew that that probably was not going to be a calling that the Lord had for us. And so I thought, I'm ready, Lord, who do you want me to pass this on to? And so he's like, no, this is for you. So I realized that I have something that moms don't have, which is time to research. And so with all my spare time, I try to research to the glory of God and to make the lives of other moms easier so that they don't have to do all the research. And so that's where I am now, doing Mama Bear Apologetics and without kids, ironically. So,
And you've written several books on Mama Bear Apologetics. Yeah. There's different ones, correct?
Yep. So we've got the very first one. Oh, I happen to have them here because I was talking to the first one here that they're my teaching copies. Mama Bear Apologetics, Empowering Your Kids to Challenge Cultural Lies, which if you've noticed kind of how crazy the thinking has gotten in our culture, this is sort of an anthology of how did we get here? what were the stages? What were the ideologies that kind of paved the way for where we are that it just wreaking havoc on our kids' ability to have faith? And then the publisher wanted the next book. I did not want to touch it, but it ended up happening. We got the Mama Bear Apologetics Guide to Sexuality, which I originally did not want to touch with a 10-foot pole, mainly because it's so complicated and knotted. And I'm really glad I did it, though, just because it needed to be done. That was the second book. We have study guides for both of them. And then I needed kind of a breather book. So we've got Honest Prayers for Mama Bears coming out in April.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So I have actually read the first one you spoke about, Mama Bear Apologetics, the teaching your children to combat cultural lies. And that is, so our team, a lot of people on our Rated Moms team have read it. And that is, when we were thinking of people to have on season two, you were like a goal. And I just can't believe that you're on here with me today. and so I just wanted to have you come on here and speak to moms, because this is just such an important topic that I think they need to know, especially as, you know, we're raising our children, like you said, in today's world and kind of where our world is headed. So give us an explanation of what apologetics is and why it is so important for us to know.
Yeah. So apologetics, I think you either get the ones that haven't even heard the word and they think, well, why am I apologizing for my faith? That sounds wrong. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that. Or they've come across, or they're very familiar with apologists, and they've come across these really combative, argumentative, kind of jerk kind of people. And they think, well, I don't want to do that. That just doesn't sound very kind. So apologetics in itself is just giving a rational defense for why you believe something to be true. And so I like to use the analogy that even if you don't know what an apologist is, you are already an apologist for something. My mom would be a classic example that you cannot talk to her for more than 5 minutes without hearing about how amazing the Instapot is. She is absolutely an Instapot apologist. Like, she will tell you all the ways it's made her life better. She will find out if you have one. If you do, what version do you have? What do you do in your Instapot versus what are some things she's learned about Instapot? I even have friends that she's like, they just didn't quite understand why they needed them. So she's like, I'm getting you an Instapot.
Oh, that's so funny. That's yep. Me with an air fryer.
She feels strongly about air fryers too. Not quite as passionate about them as Instapots, but you probably know some air fryer apologists. And so yeah. It's something that you have determined this is true. This has made your life easier, or this product is objectively superior to other products. Or for guys, it might be whatever football team or sports team, whatever sports ball they like to watch. I'm just kidding. the baseball team, whatever it is. Or for my husband, it's like certain bands, like this band is objectively superior than these other bands. And here's my 10,000 reasons why.
Yeah.
Everybody knows an apologist. Everybody is an apologist, but we don't realize that we can be apologists for the Christian faith, saying, I don't believe it because my parents said so, because my pastor said so, because it gives me this nice, warm, fluffy feeling on the inside. No, I have solid reasons for why I believe the Bible is true, that Jesus Christ was a historical man who came, lived a sinless life, died, rose again, and that the instructions written in his word really are the best way for a life of flourishing if we are going to live fully as we were designed to live as human beings. And so a lot of the past apologetics, shall we say, has been really around the what we call evidential apologetics, looking at the evidences for Jesus as a historical person, or it might be the evidences from archaeology looking that support the Bible, or evidences for why we know that the New Testament manuscripts or other parts of the Bible were reliably transmitted throughout time, which there's a lot of great reasons for all of those things. Mm-hmm. And it's because of these things, we can't ever prove our faith. We can just say, I can have evidence that supports that my faith is grounded on something that goes beyond just, I feel this burning in my bosom, yeah. You know, I feel it and I like it and it makes me happy. That's not, mm-hmm. I mean, that's great if it works for you and it makes you happy, but that really doesn't tell us whether or not something's true or not. Right. And so that would be kind of more the classic of evidential apologetics. What we did when we started on this book was we wanted to look at a lot of the books that were currently out there to say, what are the questions that kids are asking? What are the hurdles that are preventing them from feeling like they can place their faith, that Christianity is objective, it's reasonable, it's rational, and it's good? That would be the newest question. Is it even good? Nowadays, what are the barriers? And then instead of answering all those particular questions, going through and saying, how have certain ideas really seeped into society that undermined their ability to have faith. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what we address in there. And so all the stuff in that book, and the beautiful thing is it's not dumping a bunch of new knowledge usually onto people. It's stuff they're like, oh, I have seen that happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a problem. I just didn't know what it was called. But yeah, we can address that at home.
Yeah.
And kind of given reasons why, if you were to follow this ideology, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. I don't think this is objective or rational or reasonable to base your life on this ideology. And if you really can't base your life on that ideology, well, then let's move on to the next one. So we kind of go historically through all these ideologies. And honestly, if someone were to ask me why I was a Christian, it's because I believe the Bible and the worldview that it espouses makes the most sense of reality. It matches reality. And that would be what's called the correspondence theory of truth. Is truth is that which corresponds to reality. And so that's what we tried to do, is to give a good case for why we follow the Christian God in that book.
I love that so much. Okay, so what are practices that we can incorporate into our daily routine with our children to teach them to combat these cultural lies? We have a wide array of a diverse community, I should say, of women who have young children, who have older children, who don't have children, but they are mentors over children's lives. So can you give us some examples of practices, how we can incorporate into this idea into our daily lives to teach our children this?
Yeah. First off, I want to say, especially for parents with young children, dinner time needs to be sacred. That needs to be sacred time. That is the time that you come together as a family, that you don't have to carve something special out of your day. This is something you'd be doing anyway. And that is the time where you eat and you talk about the things you're grateful for, and maybe have like a little Bible study at the end. It doesn't have to be long. It could be reading one chapter of the Bible every not even a whole chapter sometimes, maybe one story, but going along the you know, from Genesis to Revelation, reading one little small snippet and talking about it.
Love
so
that.
Having that biblical familiarity itself is going to help with apologetics. And so, and especially, I'll just say, in the Old Testament, reading things from start to finish, it's not supposed to be a how-to manual. And when people read the Old Testament as if it's a how-to manual, God can seem real crazy sometimes, because it's like, I don't understand why he did what he did. I recommend the Bible Project videos that kind of help explain things, and just the entire arc of like, here, this whole book is supposed to be showing how all of Israel kings were basically devolving into chaos, you know, and it's, if you look at it from that perspective, it's like, oh, okay, that's what's happening.
Right.
So just that biblical familiarity. But I think probably the number one thing that you can do with kids at any age, well, first off, you need to be able to spot things yourself. So this is where we are passionate about training moms, because mom, you are the one that the kids ask all the questions first.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it's getting the jar or the top off the pickle jar. Your husband could be sitting in the living room watching TV, and you're in the bathtub shaving your legs. Kid will make a beeline to the bathtub.
Yep.
Be like, will you open this for me? It's like, you really, you couldn't ask your father for this one, because mom is the one they go to. So you're going to find things everywhere that are represented in this book for bad ideologies that are out there. So I'll give you an example. My husband and I do this jokingly with each other. Like, we'll be at a fair, and it'll be like an advertisement for something that says you deserve a new bathroom, or, you know, you deserve a well-designed bathroom. And John and I are like, really? We do? How do they know I'm not a serial killer? John's like, how do they know I don't beat you? Like, do I still deserve a new bathroom? And so it's like picking up on some of these ideas, or the fun one that you can get at every single craft fair, just follow your heart. Really? You think that sounds like good advice? What about if my heart tells me to, and then pick whatever you want? And it'll make your kids laugh, usually, if you can pick a really good one. And they start to see, oh yeah, that's a really hollow statement. That's a really vacuous statement. So now, when someone comes to them and tries to say it for real, you just need to follow your heart on this one. They have like 1,000 conversations with mama, like, yeah, I don't think following my heart's a great idea. In fact, I'm gonna grab this. This is like one big advertisement. I didn't mean to do this. We made these t-shirts. Say this, it says, don't follow your heart, it says stupid things. And so I like that one, just because someone's like, you need a verse on it. So I picked a verse, Matthew 15:19. That says, from out of the heart flow, you know, in sexual immorality and theft and like all these different things, all of this flow from the heart. It's like, yeah, I don't think I want to.
Your heart is deceiving.
I know, right? Yeah. Everybody wanted the Jeremiah one. I'm like, I like this verse much better. It's like out of the heart flow, basically, you know, sexual immorality, theft, idolatry, greed, all these things. So yeah, just being able to spot these snippets of these ideologies packaged in television shows, packaged in movies, packaged in music, and then just kind of point it out and ask your kids, do you think that's true? Do you think that works? What do you think are some of the problems? If I were to follow that advice, what are some of the bad things that could happen? And it just teaches them that they're evaluating everything that is around them. They're not just, you know, swallowing everything, and they're not spitting everything out. We call it the chew and spit method. It's like, you kind of take stuff in and be like, that doesn't seem right. Let's spit that out.
Yeah.
And they're learning to be discerning. And that's something that you can do, that once you start doing that, they see it everywhere. They enjoy seeing it. They enjoy pointing it out. They want to call you over and show you, look at the false idea I just found. And that can work with, lots of different ages, and the things that you talk about will mature with them, because you're not going to be doing that with stuff like, you know, concept of the patriarchy, or or the concept of, you know, all different concepts of justice and stuff like that. You may not do that with a 6-year-old, but you better be doing that with your 16-year-old.
Right. So it depends kind of on, you know, what their age is and what they can fully comprehend is how you're going about with pointing things out and teaching them. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a mom of young kids. I have a 7-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-month-old. And when you're teaching them, you want to explain as much as you can, but then you over-explain and then you have more questions and then you don't know how to answer those questions. So it's kind of finding the right medium of what they can understand and comprehend.
I say, keep a file on your phone. Like, this is something I tell every mom, you need to have a file on your phone because more than likely your phone's usually within reaching distance of you. Mm-hmm. That's like questions the kids have asked that I'm not sure how to answer. And you say, hey bud, that's a really good one. He feels really good. He just thought of something mom can't answer. And you're like, that one's going on the list. We're putting that on the list. Now make sure you're following through. And mm-hmm. then at dinner time, because dinner time is sacred, let's look at some of the questions on the list, the ones you've already prepared to answer. And you have that organic conversation over dinner. I can tell you there's a family that I hang out with over here that they're just like around the block. I've kind of adopted them as, you know, I'm Aunt Hillary. And if something's happened where mom or dad is gone for dinner time, like their dad just got to be like chairman of the elder board at their church. So he was gone for a meeting and all the kids were like, are we not doing the Bible study? Like they missed, it was part of their routine. And they crave
it's normalcy for them.
Yeah. They crave that normalcy. They crave that routine. It's just being able to implement that routine.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the idea of putting those questions in your phone and coming, acknowledging like, oh, that's a great question. And I'm not sure how to answer it right now, but we'll talk about it, you know, when we're at our dinner time, when I have a better answer for you. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the ROAR method that you teach mama bears to use when identifying a message.
Yes. So the ROAR stands for recognize the message, offer mm-hmm. objective discernment, argue for a healthier approach, and reinforce through the discussion, discipleship, and prayer. So starting out with recognize the message, there's a lot of things that people don't even realize that there's a message coming at them. And mm-hmm. so it's being able to look at a TV show and say, which characters are you supposed to root for? Because more than likely they represent a certain ideology, even if the writers were like, okay, what ideology are we representing? Okay, let's write a character. You don't have to do that because people live out their worldview. You can understand someone's worldview by the way they live their life. And so every single character in a show usually has some kind of worldview if you watch it long enough. Like, for example, the one I like to give is the movie Sing, the first one. I was so excited to see that movie that I even went by myself because I was like, singing animals, this is going to be great. And then the first like 20 minutes of the movie, it was just the main character lying continually to the point of where when I got back, I put something on Mama Bear Facebook and I said, hey, if y'all are planning on going to see this with your kids, buy a bucket of popcorn and tell your kids to take a piece of popcorn every time the main character tells a lie. And I was like, you're going to be out of popcorn, depending on how many kids you have. And what you discover is he lies from beginning to end, but it's all for one purpose, in service of the art. So his worldview, if you were to summarize his worldview, recognize the message, is it basically everything is ethical and moral as long as it's in service to creating the most excellent art that you can.
Okay.
So that would be an example about recognizing the message. So you can do, like I said, you can do it with books, movies, music, but you can also do it with just some of the ideologies that are going around. Especially we give a lot of examples for the sexual ideologies that are going around, the whole LGBTQ+ ideology. Okay. All the different things of like, if this ideology, if this character, if this song were to have one piece of life advice that based on this song, this would be the summary of the life advice they would want to give you. What would that be? Yeah. And then you start recognizing the messages. So once you've recognized the message, you're going to do what I call offer objective discernment, where we want to see things accurately. We don't want to just say, we don't want to ascribe motives to someone when those don't actually exist. I like giving the example of the band AC/DC, how in the 80s they were like, oh, it stands for Antichrist, Devil's Children. No.
Yeah.
It stood for alternating current, direct current. It was on, it's on the back of every single electrical appliance. They thought it sounded cool. So we want to be accurate. We want to be objective, but this is the hand motion that I teach parents to do. Tell your kids everything is a mixture of truth and lies. We separate the truth from the lies. We accept the truth. We reject the lies. Mm. I could say everything's a mixture of good and bad. We separate the good from the bad. We accept the good, reject the bad. So whenever you see something that you're like, not quite sure about that, you're like, that's an idea. What do you think about this? They already know that when you do this, they're going to be looking for, okay, what are the things that we as Christians agree with? What are the things that we as Christians maybe wouldn't agree with? Okay, I'm going to accept those and reject those. Mm-hmm. It's teaching them to sift through everything and to expect to see good and bad in the same thing. Because I'm telling you, you're not going to ever have a perfect pastor. There will sometimes be things said from the pulpit that are a mix of truth and lies, that are a mix of good and bad. We can't be teaching them to turn their brain off depending on who's speaking. And we can't be teaching them to reject everything someone says just because who's speaking. They have to recognize that truth and lies can come from anywhere. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad the atheist, you can get some truth from him. He might know things about physics that you don't know. That's right. Still truth. No matter how good the pastor or theologian, they might say something that's just nonsense. And you're like, God does not say that in his word. Even well-meaning people, oh, God won't give you anything beyond what you can bear. I'm sorry. So let's talk about Job right now.
Right.
So it's like, everybody can say something true. Everybody can say something false. We are constantly listening to it and we're evaluating it by scripture. We're not rejecting all of the message and we're not accepting all of the message. We are being discerning. Argue for a healthier approach. We have now separated the good from bad, accepted the good, reject the bad. Now we're going to take the good stuff and say, either how was this false thing that they applied to it? How is that maybe taking a true problem and solving it in a wrong way? What does the Bible have to say about this? And so a lot of times you can find motives. You can find the identity of a problem, all sorts of stuff that was correctly identified by a source that then had lies snuck into it and with it. We're now going to compare that with what the Bible says. So how can we solve this problem in a biblical way? When we have these motives, what is a biblical way for us to act upon those? So again, you're arguing for a healthier approach, and then you're reinforcing through discussion, discipleship, and prayer. So these are going to be your discussions on the way home from a movie. A discipleship, you might think of little games that you're going to do that really get the point across. And then there's sometimes when you encounter such nonsense, such darkness, the only thing you can do is pray through it. Because I've learned to notice when there is a spiritual stronghold with someone that I'm talking with, a lot of times it's like they cannot understand anything that's coming out of my mouth, or whatever they say back to me, I'm like, that just doesn't make sense. I mean, are you listening to yourself saying this?
Right.
At that point, I know there is a spiritual stronghold, and prayer is the only way to deal with spiritual strongholds. You can't argue past spiritual strongholds. You can't convince someone that there's a spiritual stronghold. You got to pray through that spiritual stronghold. So that would be that final step.
Did you know that Rooted Moms is a nonprofit organization? That's right. We are able to provide our practical resources, community, and encouragement to moms because of the generous donations of individuals and businesses. If you have been blessed by this podcast or our other available resources, consider paying it forward. Your one-time donation or ongoing monthly partnership helps us reach and equip more moms to thrive as they become rooted in Christ. To learn more and make a donation, visit www.rootedmoms.com/donate.
What I love about this is that, and teaching your kids how to do that, is that, you know, we're ultimately going to send them out to the world by themselves. Mm-hmm. And they've got to be able to do these things for themselves. But when they're young, we want to protect them so much. So I really, really love the idea of not shielding them from everything. Like how you didn't tell those parents not to go sing to, because, you know, not to go see it because maybe it wasn't the best influence on them, but you told them, you know, teach your kids how to recognize what's not good about it. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately they're going to go out in the world and you're not going to be there to shield them anymore. So I love this idea of just opening them up to the world and teaching them as you go.
The world is your classroom. I'm telling you, the world is your classroom. And there are so many You don't even have to lesson plan. It just presents itself to you every day, no matter where you go.
Yes, it does. Whether you're ready for it or not.
Whether you're ready for it or not. And so hopefully our job is to be prepared for it. And I'll say just the idea of us addressing it first. There's a psychological principle that whoever is the first to introduce you to a topic in your head gets filed away as the expert. So who do we want to be filed away as the expert? Do we want it to be Dr. Google? Do we want it to be, the friends? Do we want it to be the teacher? No, we want to be that expert that they're going to come back with. And so, don't like just shove everything on your kids before they're developmentally able, but we do need to be broaching topics. Even if we say, what have you heard about XYZ? Okay, not much. We're not going to go into it then. They at least heard you mention it first, knowing that if you do, and telling them, if you have any questions about this, make sure to come and ask me or your father, and we'll talk about that. But you've still been the one to say, whatever is coming at you, we already know about it. So if you have questions about it, we're the ones to come to.
Making them feel comfortable ahead of time.
Yeah.
When you hear this subject that you're not kind of sure about, but it kind of makes you feel a little icky or maybe uncomfortable, you know, you can still come to me because I've already mentioned something about it. You've already heard it come out of my mouth, and then I'm ready to talk to you about it when you're ready to talk about it.
Or if you hear something where when you're listening to it, it makes sense, but there's something in your inside that says something's not right with that. I've had that feeling before, and usually when I have someone who knows more about the situation, I can kind of work through that. So if you have anything that makes you feel like that, definitely come to us and we'll try to figure out what is it that's kind of making you feel icky. That can open up a lot of doors for different conversations.
Right. And just kind of, so really like at the core of Rooted Moms, we want to get women rooted in God's word. Mm-hmm. So you have to be rooted in God's word to be able to teach your children how to be rooted in God's word, obviously, but to be able to, you know, decipher the good from the bad and to receive that and reject it. You have to know God's word and doing those little things, like you mentioned at dinner time, keeping that time sacred and doing a chapter, doing a verse, pulling out a snippet of the Bible and explaining it to them. They have it in their head already, you know, even as little kids.
Yeah. And I would like to distinguish something that I think a lot of moms have. I want to distinguish between being rooted in Bible teaching versus being rooted in the Bible. Being rooted in Bible teaching means there's always a level of interpretation that someone is doing. So I don't know if you've been following the whole, what's called the deconstruction movement that's going on right now. People saying, there's all this toxic stuff, toxic theology that I've had to work my way through there. We've got the whole Duggar family that the kids are coming out and being like, okay, here's the stuff that we were taught. And you're like, somebody taught you that? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, what Christian would teach their kids this?
Right.
I just want women to realize there's a difference between reading little devotionals and reading about Bible teachers and people who are interpreting the word and reading the Bible for yourself. Because I think one of the greatest antidotes to all this toxic theology is knowing more theology. It's reading the Bible for yourself. And it's reading it all the way through to see, like, where is this in the larger picture of things? Mm-hmm. Was this a how-to story? Or was this something that God commanded versus something the Lord's like, this happened, you should learn from it. Right. There's so many things that people get confused of, saying either God did this as opposed to God let this happen, or God was using this bad situation to teach his people.
Right.
You can come to wildly different conclusions. So I just can't say it enough. Be rooted in scripture where you are reading the Bible for yourself and not someone else's kind of massaging of it for you to make it more palatable. We're all smarter than that. We don't need that. We don't have to stay completely away from it, but that should not be our primary source.
Absolutely. Like when you're listening to a pastor, you have to be able, you know, a lot of their message, well, I don't want to say a lot of their message, but some of their message is their interpretation of the scripture. So you have to be able to decipher that interpretation for yourself and know God's word. So what do we do if our children expresses doubt about God in the Bible?
I would say, are we talking questions or are we talking doubt? Because I think a lot of times people want to lump those two things together. Having questions is excellent. We always want to encourage questions. Questions mean that your child is trying to say, okay, I've got all these different puzzle pieces and now I've got this puzzle piece and I can't quite figure out where this fits in here. Are we sure about this? Mm-hmm. That's them trying to piece together their worldview so that one day when something happens to their worldview or something comes and it just, you know, destroys something in their life, that whether that be a heartbreak or something where everything just kind of goes flying, mm-hmm. they know how to put that worldview back together again because they've done it the first time. Now, doubts are going to be, here's this picture that I'm getting from scripture. I don't think that's true.
Right. Yes.
There's a difference between that, or I'm not sure if this is true, in which case we find out why are you not sure if this is true or not, kind of digging a little deeper. Mm-hmm. So kids will normally be in the stage where they're expressing questions. And I think a lot of times people, since they equate questions with doubt, they kind of freak out, honestly, instead of taking it as, you know, a part of any kind of learning process that we have about anything. Mm-hmm. The true doubt, we need to see, where is this coming from? And I actually have a talk on this. I'm wanting to, this was the first book I actually wanted to write. And the publisher was like, that would be a great next book sometime down the road. But the different types of doubt that we can have, that sometimes it's a doubt where information, if I were to give you this information and it were to satisfy you, would you still have that doubt? Absolutely. Or would that satisfy the doubt? Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay, we might have an informational issue. If it's like, if I answered this completely satisfactorily, do you think, are you still going to feel doubt? And if they're like, well, and they're not sure, we've got something emotional that's going on that hasn't been addressed, and it's targeting something theological. Or sometimes we can have doubt just because we don't know how to obey scripture. We really don't want to obey scripture. And if I can convince myself that maybe it's not true, then I don't have to care what it says. That's the hardest one to get people to admit, because a lot of times they don't even know this process is going on. Mm-hmm. So again, this is a very loaded question. Yeah. We have to understand what kind of doubt it is. Usually you're not going to deal with this until like the mid later teens. Most mm-hmm. of the time you're going to be dealing with questions, not full on doubt, unless someone has taught this child to doubt, which right now is possible. With all the TikTok influencers, they might say, well, you know, my favorite, Rhett and Link, they did some show and all of a sudden they came out saying, we're not Christians anymore. There was a lot of kids that are like, I don't know what to do with my faith. I mean, if Rhett and Link don't think it anymore, then how can I believe it?
Right.
So yeah, this is just a really nuanced and complicated issue there.
So there's just different layers to it. Mm-hmm. You have to get to what you believe is the root cause of the doubt to kind of combat the doubt or mm-hmm. help them combat the doubt.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So why is it so important, especially in today's society, for women to be a part of apologetics?
Oh, yes. So I have an article that I encourage everybody to Google. It's called, Yes, of course, women need apologetics, but more importantly, apologetics needs women. Mm-hmm. And I think that apologetics has kind of been this boys club for a long time, which is why even the group Women in Apologetics came along. And I remember being confused, being like, why do we need a whole separate thing with women in apologetics? I was always very much a daddy's girl. I was very comfortable in the sciences. I was used to being the only woman or only girl in attendance at certain lectures. So it just didn't make sense to me. But in general, I think that women take a different approach towards knowledge. It's like guys have like this whole toolbox, and sometimes they're in their, fixing the car toolbox. Sometimes they're in the planning date night with my wife toolbox. Sometimes they're in the apologetics toolbox. And then the box that all of us women really, really envy, they're in their nothing box. What are you thinking about? Nothing. And they legitimately are thinking about nothing. Like, we're like, I would kill to have a nothing box. I can't do that. My mind's always going about something. Same. So I think that, it's kind of just been this box where they just dumped information on. Maybe it sometimes helped them in other things, but I think women see all of these things connected, and we draw connections that maybe a lot of times guys don't. Mama Bear Apologetics has been this weirdly, how do I even say it? Revolutionary new approach to apologetics, because we are tying it to questions with kids and when you're out and about and when you're here and how does this affect other things? And it really didn't seem like rocket science to me. I didn't think we were doing anything that like different, but apparently we are, to where it's resonated with so many women. And even so many men have come and said, I've never read a book like this before. So I just want to say that we bring something different to the table just by being women. It doesn't mean you have to fall into some female stereotype. I for sure never did.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for women, but I especially think it's important for moms for the reason that I said before, that basically from birth till sometime in the mid teens, mom will always be the first person that the child will go to for questions. So number one, who's getting the spiritual questions first? Probably mom.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime around in the mid teens, and as they get older, they start going to dad for things like politics or for, you know, economics or things that are kind of more, you know, budgeting, learning how to, you know, balance a checkbook. Yeah. Like nobody does that anymore, but that kind of stuff, you know, they knew to go to dad. But we as women, we as moms need to be in this realm, if for no other reason than we're the ones getting the questions. So I think everybody should be targeting moms, in my opinion.
Yeah. I love that so much. Thank you so much for being on today and speaking to our community. I just love your book so much. Mama Bear Apologetics. Everybody go get it. We will link it on our website. You can go to Hillary's website. It's www.mamabearapologetics.com.
Right. And it's M-A-M-A. People have all sorts of weird ways. Yeah. It's spelled like that.
Before we wrap up today, if you are comfortable, do you mind praying over us before we close out?
Absolutely. Father God, I just thank you for this time of talking. Lord, I thank you for every time I just get to interact with other moms, Lord, other women who are raising up your children, who you have given to steward this next generation along with their husbands, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just be sparking an interest. I pray that you would be defeating lies that say, oh, I'm not smart enough at that, or lies that, oh, that would be too much to add to the schedule, lies that, oh, my kids aren't interested. I mean, sometimes you don't even know the stuff that they're hearing and listening to until it pops out of their mouth later, Lord. And they were absolutely hearing everything that we were saying. So anything that would become a barrier, Lord, any lie that's going to prevent a woman from really saying, I'm going to get to know the God of this Bible. I'm going to get to know this Bible, and I'm going to help teach my kids why we can rely that this Bible is true and excellent and praiseworthy and reliable, Lord. I pray that you would just dispel any lies that are preventing them from that, Lord. And I pray that you would give them one thing that happens this week. Their child asks them one question that they're able to answer, something maybe they heard on this podcast. Every time that they're learning something, Lord, I pray you would just give them consistently one more thing and one more place to put it into practice, Lord, knowing that you will never just unload on them all of the things at once. They don't have to know everything all at once to know something, to be doing something, Lord. So I just pray that you would be putting a new thirst and a new hunger, Lord, for answering these questions, knowing that the more we prepare our kids for encountering these questions, the more our kids will be able to just kind of flick them off when someone tries to get them off their faith, Father God. I pray that you put a protection around the moms. I pray for protection around our kids as they're hearing so much nonsense out in the world, Lord. And I pray that you would be strengthening the bonds between parents and children, Lord, so that the children feel comfortable and safe going to their parents with questions, and the parents feel comfortable and safe saying, let me research that for you, God. I pray for our ability to do family again, Lord, in a country and in a society where family is being ripped apart at the seams, Father God. I pray that you would show us how to do family again so that we can be just that light, that aroma of Christ, saying this is what the true, beautiful, good life looks like. And it comes from when we know what scripture says and we just do what it says. Father God, I just praise your name. I thank you for being the God of reality who created us and wants us to understand how we work best. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being on with me today, Hillary. I think that you have just spoken volumes to our community, and we're just so appreciative of your ministry and everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of the Rooted Moms podcast today. We would love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram. Find us there by searching Rooted Moms. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button below so you never miss an episode. Rooted Moms provides practical tools, community, and encouragement that equip moms to become rooted in Christ. Connect with us and learn more at www.rootedmoms.com. We'll see you next time.